Good afternoon, and welcome to the Return to Flight Task Group's post-public meeting news conference. Before we begin, one administrative note: at the end of the news conference, we'll be rolling some B-roll video, some of which was shot recently during a fact-finding visit to the Michoud Assembly Facility. Another segment of which was obtained during the fact-finding meeting that occurred earlier this week here in Huntsville, and then a little bit of B-roll from this morning's public meeting. With that, I'll introduce our briefers this afternoon. To my immediate right is Mr. Dick Covey, who is the task group's co-chairman. To his right, Dr. Dan Crippen, who is lead for the task group's management panel. Next to him, Colonel Jim Adamson, who is the operations panel lead. And finally on the end, Mr. Joe Cuzzopoli, who is lead for the task group's technical panel. And now I'll just turn it over to
Good. Dick. Well, thank you, Dave. First, I want to comment on the hospitality we've received here at the Marshall Space Flight Center as we've held our plenary session and our public meeting this morning at the Marshall Institute. We've gotten extraordinary support from the center. It's been a boon to us to be able to come here and accomplish some fact-finding activity with the panel. The panels and then to have our public meeting, and it couldn't have been possible without the support we've gotten from Marshall. Our public meeting this morning, and for those of you that were able to participate in the public meeting, we're going to I'll ask your forgiveness if we go over a few of the things that we covered there, because I'm making the assumption that not everybody that's on the loop this morning had that opportunity. But we met this week with the intent of looking at or reviewing the status of all of the 15 return to flight recommendations and the one space shuttle program raising the bar action, SSP-3, that we have been tasked with or have assigned to ourselves an assessment. The intent was that the space shuttle program had worked very hard to get closure packages to us for each of those recommendations in SSP-3 with the intent of putting the best information forward to us at this point in time that they had relative to their actions for each of the recommendations. We in turn took those as best we could, and some of them the completion of the closure packages was late last week, so we didn't have as much time to necessarily review them in the detail that we would otherwise have done. But the fact that the program and the agency stepped up to getting as much data for us was a substantial effort, and one that then allowed us to look at in the total context of what we had, the progress that had been made in implementing the recommendations, and then the subsequent progress we were able to make in assessing those implementations to see if the intent of the Accident Investigation Board's recommendation was met. We were successful in closing some of the assessments that we had made on several of the recommendations, and on several others that we had in the past conditionally closed, we were able to remove that condition and close those. Full closure, as some of the panel members and task group members have chosen to call it. The other side of that, there are still some assessments that we're undertaking. They're still open, and will remain open for appears several months. The reason for that is that even though we got closure packages, we still believe there are additional data or activities that need to be completed before we are willing to complete our assessment and render a decision whether or not the Columbia Accident Investigation Board's recommendation has been, the intent of their recommendation has been met. In order to go through each of the different groups, management, operations, and technical, I'm going to have the panel leads give you a very high-level summary of what we accomplished in their area today, what still remains open, what was closed, and we'll do that. But one last thing I want to, before I hand off to Dan, I want to go over is We are very demanding in what we ask for in terms of closure packages from the agency. And what we ask for is not necessarily something that is just the same work that they're doing anyway as they prepare for the next space shuttle flight. In many cases, it's additional work in order to present the data in a way and the information in a way that that we find acceptable in our assessments. We require them to do additional work, and we understand that. They've had to accommodate that, and they will still have to accommodate that even as they get into the next 5 months or so as they move toward a milestone of a launch in May and June. So I just wanted to acknowledge that we do add work. We know that, and that work has to be accommodated amongst all the other work that the program is undertaking in order to accommodate our needs so that we can, as an advisory panel to the administrator, and I also would like to reemphasize that we are advisory. We're not investigative. We are not searching for solutions. We are in the role of advising the administrator on the effectiveness of the implementation of the recommendations relative to whether or not they meet the intent of the Accident Investigation Board. It's a very narrow charter in that regard, which means that a lot of what you heard today should not have been news to you if you attended our public meeting. Most all of it has been discussed by the shuttle program or the agency in their own press conferences and reporting and in their implementation plan presentations. So it shouldn't be new. You shouldn't have heard too much that was new today. And maybe what you heard was our particular take on it. And in those areas where we can could complete assessments, how we felt about those actions relative to the Accident Investigation Board's intent. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dan.
Thank you, Dick. I think there are two primary areas where we have made significant progress since the last plenary. One was in the area of the understanding that NASA has reached with other federal agencies on the ability to call upon those assets on imaging the shuttle during launch and while on orbit. We had recommended, and the task group had accepted the recommendation that requirement or recommendation be essentially closed out some time ago, with the condition that the data and the assets, the data from the assets, be practiced, if you will, inside simulations that are being conducted for the mission management team. That's been accomplished on at least two occasions in the recent past, and so based on that, we recommended, the task group accepted full closure of that recommendation. So it is, we think NASA has done a terrific job of implementing that, and it's a lot harder than it may look, much of which we don't know about, let alone talk about, because, of course, some of the assets and the data from it are classified, and it takes a great deal of logistics to make that happen, including clearances for NASA personnel and secure facilities and equipment to handle it. So it's not quite as easy as it looks, but it has been accomplished. Second area of significant change has been in the area of the independent technical authority. As many of you will recall, one of the things that CABE worried about was the fact that the program manager, the shuttle manager in this case, was responsible and had to respond to pressures created by a limited budget, by a limited schedule, and at the same time be responsible for the safety of the shuttle. Now, it's not that anyone thinks the program manager is not responsible for safety or that anyone else around him is not. Indeed, that's still the case. But they were concerned about the ability of the program manager to waive technical requirements in light of the shuttle or the other pressures he was under. And so they recommended that the technical authority within NASA be removed from the program and given to an independent person or source. And that, in its latest incarnation, which is not quite 2 months old, I believe, the latest plan does exactly that. It makes the chief engineer the NASA independent technical authority over all technical issues, which means if there are any waivers to those requirements, it will have to be ultimately through the chief engineer. It also means that the risk analysis, engineering risk analysis, will be moved from the SNMA function, if you will, to the chief engineer. Along with that, the NESC, the National Engineering Center, which was created at Langley not long after the demise of Columbia, that the NESC was moved under the chief engineer as well, so it will have those resources to utilize in the exercise of the independent technical authority. And last, that the establishment of this authority envisioned the formal ability of the chief engineer to delegate some of this authority down to what is being called warrant holders. And the notion is that the primary expert inside NASA for a particular technical area will be a warrant holder and have the ability to grant waivers to that particular technical authority, or that particular technical requirement, and ultimately, of course, report back to the chief engineer of such. But the warrant system is a very formal and practiced way, at least in other agencies, the Navy in particular, a way of delegating this technical authority so the chief engineer is not literally doing all of the waivers or managing the technical requirements. So given these, this format, this organization, we think that it does meet the intent and the letter of the CABE recommendation. We will not close it, did not close it this time for two reasons. One, there are some details yet to be worked out of exactly how the ITA will interface with the centers and with the SMMA community. Those details are in process now, and we expect will be worked out in the next few weeks. Yesterday was the first time actually warrant authority was granted. As I think I recall, there were 12 warrants issued yesterday, so that process will go on. So there are a few details yet here we'd like to see. The second reason we didn't close is it's part of the Independent Technical Authority is part of a larger CABE recommendation, 9.1.1, which calls for a detailed plan for three particular things, the ITA being one of them. And so we're going to wrap up 9.1.1 as a single recommendation or all at once, and it will include 7.5.1, 5.2, and 5.3. So all in all, for these two areas, we've made pretty good progress since the last plenary and see no reason why these recommendations can't be closed at our next plenary. There are several other recommendations relevant to the management panel, and I won't spend a great deal of time on those that we statused but did not close. One has to do with resources, and that's an ongoing assessment. It probably will be to the very end of our existence, because it's a snapshot in time as to what resources are available, and the CABE was concerned about schedule and resource pressures, which you might not see until close to launch time anyway. And another was the plan for training, additional training for the mission management team. And the MMT has now conducted 9 simulations. We've attended 7 of those 9. There is expectation there will be a full end-to-end simulation, which may cover a number of days and a number of centers come the last week of February, first week of March. And so we have a number of outstanding issues with the MMT sims, and we will see the exercise at that point, and we'll be able to then, we believe, close that recommendation as well. So in short, things are moving along quite smartly, and there should be no reason, as Dick said, that we couldn't close out the management recommendations come March or when we meet next meet.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. The operations panel is reviewing 7 separate activities for which we have leadership. 6 of those are 6 of the 15 CABE recommendations. And one is the SSP-3 that Dick referred to earlier, contingency shuttle crew support or safe haven. The bean count today is we've closed 4 of those. 1 is closed conditionally, 2 and 3 are closed completely. 2 of them remain open. We expect to close those in the first quarter next year. And one of them, most of the work has been completed on it, but it will close when one of the other remaining open ones, 641 inspection repair, closes, because the assets used to close that recommendation are being worked in conjunction with 641. I'll go through those just quickly and summarize the content of each of those. The three of the 7 are imagery related CABE recommendations. 341, 342, and 343 all relate to taking imagery for the purpose of characterizing debris liberation, the ascent, debris environment, damaged states on the vehicle, or the nature of debris being released from the external tank. The first one of those, 341, is the one that refers to three useful views from the ground. These are short-range, medium-range, and long-range tracking cameras that take motion picture video of the vehicle going uphill, the entire shuttle stack through SRB-SEP. Purpose of these cameras is to try to capture any debris being liberated or any debris in the environment for the purpose of trying to determine where it came from and where it's going to. It's not an asset that's used to characterize a damaged state, for example, on an orbiter, or characterize the exact debris configuration being liberated from the tank. These are merely dynamic views that would be used to determine transport mechanisms and validate models that are used for that. The 342 is cameras that are located on the orbiter vehicle looking at the external tank. And one of these assets is a handheld camera being used by the crew to photograph the tank right at ETSEP. And the second one is housed inside the orbiter umbilical well and shoots a sequence of snapshots of the external tank at ETSEP. The first one of these that I mentioned, the three useful views, is closed conditionally. The second one that I mentioned, 342, is closed fully at this point. The third one, 343, consists of cameras mounted on the ET external tank and the solid rocket boosters that look at the underside of the orbiter. These cameras are actually backups for the primary method of inspecting the underside of the vehicle to assess damage, which is the orbiter boom sensor system, the boom that you may have heard it referred to, which houses a sensor suite and can accurately characterize damage states on the underside of the vehicle when attached to the remote manipulator arm. This one we left open, but we have actually transferred it to close. It will close as a separate recommendation when we complete the work on the OBSS or the boom in conjunction with 641. That work is being done in connection with that recommendation, and so we'll actually link these two recommendations together and close them at the same time. We also completely closed or fully closed two other recommendations that we'd conditionally closed at a prior meeting back in July. One was 452, the FOD, or foreign object debris recommendation. NASA redefined or created a new, the standard, went back to the standard definition, I should say, for FOD, and revitalized their training program and implemented it, implemented as well a series of audits to provide a closed loop feedback system on their FOD program. It looks very, very good at this point. They've met all of our requirements, and that one's closed. Furthermore, 1031, which was closeout imagery to be placed in a database that would be made available to the flight control team, has been completed. That was a conditional closure pending completion of a simulation, and that's been done. So that one's completely closed now. Contingency shuttle crew support or safe haven. NASA's responded to most of our requests for information, and we think that one's very close to being closed. Probably will close, certainly will close in the first quarter of next year, as well as 641, the inspect and repair recommendation. We are working with the technical panel on that one, so Joe's folks and my folks get to work that together. The reason for that is it really consists of both materials development issues and procedures or operations processes development issues. So we'll continue to work that together, but I expect we'll get that one closed in the first year. So from an operations perspective, we think we're about 70% complete. And of the the remaining work that we have, we see no impediments to completing that in the first quarter next year, and we should wrap this up easily, at least the closure packages, by the March plenary session.
Joe? Okay, well, you've heard all this paperwork and recommendations going through the system, numbers and all that, but it's encouraging to see that the hardware is moving. Hardware is being redesigned, modified, tested, and all the elements will be down to the Cape by the end of the year. So there's, even though that's very important for all these recommendations to be sorted out, resolved, it's always encouraging to see the end item being the hardware being fixed and moved on. We shared with the public today the our progress on the ET external tank that's been in rework at the MSHU. It's scheduled to, by NASA, their decision to ship it to the Cape by the end of this month. So that's great news. There's still some work to be done, but this work is being all planned out by the Cape and the MSHU operations. So that's great news. Second of all, the orbiter, the work that is being done to harden the orbiter is also about 80% complete. Now, there are other work that goes on besides its recommendations. So it's there's the normal work that they have to do in the process, such as install the engines, which they have, by the way, on the orbiter, making sure the APUs, checking out the vehicle. All this is coming up in the next 6 months or so. Finally, the solid rocket booster bolt catcher. That has been completely redesigned, completely reworked, and certified. So, again, that's hardware progress. So those are the three recommendations, three areas that we focused on today. We have two others. We shared with them on a two-person closeout. We brought it forward for a full closure. We conditionally closed that back in May. We have completely closed that one out. We closed out the bolt catcher today. The NDE testing on the reinforced carbon-carbon material, we sent all the parts back to Lockheed Martin in Dallas, and those parts have been all NDE and shipped back to the Cape. So those are the things that are going on in summation. Now, the big one that we're working on that Jim alluded to together is the TOW inspection, RCC inspection and repair, and that is in progress. That's work in progress. A lot of work being done on that. We're looking forward to the outcome of the testing that's going on right at this moment. We're going to be meeting up around January the 7th to see how the testing went on TOW repair as well as RCC repair. We think that's the long pole in a tent, and it's got to be worked on harder. And it's like I said before, it's making progress. So in summation, I believe that the NASA is accomplishing their work activity, and their plans are excellent, and they have a lot of work, and we're following it day by day.
Thanks, Joe.
Over to you, Dick. Okay, thanks, Joe. Let's see, just to go over a summary of what you heard, and in case you were trying to keep count, as of the end of our plenary public session this morning, we have closed eight of the return-to-flight recommendations. Two remain closed conditionally, but the other six are fully closed. So we feel that met much of our goal for this plenary of being able to move some to the fully closed category, close some new ones, and then of the remaining eight that are open, one of course we've tied to to the closure of 641, and most of the others if you were able to listen in to the public meeting, when we staged them, are well on their way to being at a point where we will be able to complete our assessments of them. In fact, all of them clearly fit into our own schedule of being able to complete assessments by the end of March, supporting our ability to report to the administrator no later than 1 month before launch. That is our chartered task, is to provide a final report to the administrator advising him of whether or not we have assessed the actions of the agency to have met the intent of the CABE recommendations. And so all of that fits. It's the remaining work is in parallel with the ongoing preparations for flight, and nothing that we are looking at is a that or that we are doing would generate a milestone that that the program has to march to specifically. We are in parallel with their other activities. So that I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, I think we're ready for.